Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Jesus said, I know how you have borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Did you hear how verse 4 started off? Nevertheless, even though he had commended them for their labor and patience and works, and how that they would not tolerate evil, even though they had discerned the difference between a true apostle and a liar, even though they had labored for his name's sake and had not fainted, after all of these commendations, Jesus says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. To the church of Pergamos, he commended them. He says, but I have a few things against you. These are words that we don't want to hear when we stand before him on that judgment day. Paul said that he had finished his course. He had run the race. He had kept the faith. Henceforth, there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. Don't you want to live so that you will never hear those words, I have somewhat against you, or I have a few things against you? Live right, obey his word, and you will never hear the words, I have somewhat against you. When this book was written, not only had the Ephesians been under excellent leadership, but they were also in the second generation of faith. The Ephesians had been pastored by Paul, pastored by Timothy, and probably John himself. And now we come to the second generation. Many of us can identify with that. I was born to believing parents, raised in the church. I understand the tendency to take Jesus for granted. I understand the tendency to become mechanical in our expression of faith, to place work for Christ before our worship for Christ. I read an article of a lady who attended a church described as a mega church. She said, I was surprised at the size of the bulletin. It looked more like a small magazine. She gave a sample of the activities that was offered during the week. Sunday morning begins with 3 services. Sunday afternoon, a tea was being held for new members. Monday mornings, there was an aerobics class called Jumping for Jesus. Monday night, a Bible study for the men. Tuesday morning, women's Bible study. Tuesday night, the youth planning committee and the missions planning committee. Wednesday morning, the temple keepers met. Wednesday night, family night supper. After supper, the family Bible study. Thursday morning, they visited the rest homes and prisons in the area. Thursday night, the evangelistic team went out canvassing the neighborhood, seeking opportunities to witness for Christ. Friday mornings was preparing for the soup kitchen. Friday nights, prayer meeting. Saturday mornings was the men's breakfast. Saturday night, the young people had a pizza party, and Sunday morning, the week began again. I'm not against any of these activities. These are great activities with the intentions of giving many of God's people opportunities for expressing their faith. But can we get too busy? Would Jesus say to us, as he did to the Christians at Ephesus, I know your work, your perseverance. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. I remember when I fell in love with my wife, I was preoccupied with thoughts of her. My love was affectionate, passionate, and none of it was a burden because I was in love. Have you ever been in love with Jesus like that? Perhaps when you first met him and received him into your life as Savior, do you remember being preoccupied with thoughts of him? Do you remember when your devotional times were never long enough? Do you remember when the thoughts of him provoked a passionate, fervent response in your heart? Do you remember how you went to church, thrilled to think that you could do something for this one you love, this Savior who had done so much for you? Have things changed somewhere along the line without your awareness? Did your work for Jesus overtake your worship for Jesus? Have you become so busy you no longer have time for extended prayer and Bible reading? When you do find time to pray, are you focusing on requests concerning your service, not on Jesus and your relationship to him? When you read the Bible, is it to prepare a Sunday school lesson or to listen to his voice speaking to you personally? If this describes you, Jesus is saying, you have fallen. You have fallen in your usefulness to God. You have fallen from God's pleasure in your life. You have fallen in your testimony before others. You have fallen in the effectiveness of your witness. You have fallen away from a loving relationship with Jesus. The believers at Ephesus had not only become mechanical in their expressions of their faith, they had become deceived by the importance of their labor. Have we in some way become deceived by the importance of our service for Christ? Do we think that he cares more about what we do for him than what we are to him? When we are sidetracked by service, this glorious vision will reveal hope for us through looking at Jesus.